Aren't you glad it is well with our soul? When we make that decision to follow Jesus, and when we turn from our past, we turn from whatever was before, and we make a decision to follow Jesus, it is well with our soul. Father, we are thankful. God, we thank you that it is well with our soul. God, we thank you that you are leading us and guiding us in all things. God, we thank you that you have a plan for each of us in all things. Father, thank you that we can turn to you for all things, that we don't have to bear it ourselves, that we don't have to carry the load, but we can give it to you, and we can turn to you, and you will carry us and lead us to the good things. Father, you will deal with the things that are happening around us, Father, and that you have good things for us. God, we love you. Father, we love you. God, I pray that you will be with the remainder of our service today. Father, I pray that you will just encourage us today. As the girls from Teen Challenge share with us this morning, Father, I pray that our hearts and lives will be impacted by what they have to say. And Father, I pray that likewise we'll have an opportunity to make an impact on them. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. We're going to play a video here once the team is off the stage. Of course, I have another announcement to kill time. So if you haven't signed up yet, we have a sign up over there for the Harvest Festival. So if you want to work with me, maybe managing a bouncy castle for an hour and a half, or maybe managing the slushy machine, or maybe managing the coffee machine, or handing out brochures just about our fall events for the community, like the Parent and Tot Day, which is also a grandparent and tot day. You could turn it into either. If you like coffee, you could show up. But also we have, with the warm-up station and those different things, we have opportunities just for you to serve. So sign up or talk to me. Give me an email or a shout. I do leave for a couple days away here with Stacy. We're heading to Las Vegas. So we'll see if I can hit it big on the slots or something. I don't know how to play slot machine, but I think that's even the action, right? Anybody? I've never done it. I don't even know if you have to pull a lever now. But anyways, I'm gonna stop with my bad jokes. That's what my kids tell me. They're bad dad jokes. So we'll start this video for you guys, and then we'll invite Teen Challenge up.
For as long as I can remember, I've had some pains in my life. I was raised primarily in a single family home with my mother. My father had another family, and I didn't really have a sense of belonging. I didn't know where I belonged. I was made fun of at school for being a different color. And all of these things led me to feel like I wasn't good enough, that I wasn't pretty, that I just didn't fit in. And all of these hurts led me to daydream. And I would daydream all the time. Whenever I felt, I guess, alone or compared or shy and nervous and insecure, I would just go to this happier place. So I decided to become a nurse in my late teenage years. So I decided to become a nurse because my mother was a nurse, and I thought that it was something I could do and I could help other people, which is something I enjoyed doing. When I first became a nurse practitioner, my hope was to be able to help other people. But I wasn't at all prepared for the different things that I would see. There would be times where I would be called out to various scenes where someone may have ended their life, or to a scene where an assault had just occurred. I saw a lot of trauma, people who had been brutalized or abused. Seeing all of those traumas on a day-to-day basis really started to affect my mental health. I started to become anxious and just doing regular daily activities would sometimes trigger memories of things that I had seen or heard. They just stayed with me. They never left me. I was almost paralyzed by it, and eventually my daydream world wasn't a fun place anymore because everything just seemed so negative that even when I tried to escape, my daydreams were also very negative. I started to feel hopeless and decided to try Percocet. I had heard that this medication sometimes helps with feelings, and it did. It made everything better. It made everything go away. At first, I would take the medication orally. A month or two into my addiction, I started to crush the medication and snort it. Eventually, I started crushing it and injecting it, so I ended up using it intravenously, and that's when my life started to spiral out of control. My addiction eventually got to a point where I was needing something every couple of hours. So in between patients, because I was still working, I would run into the washroom and just to get the next fix, just so that I could be normal, not to be high anymore, but just to be able to continue with my day. Eventually, things started to catch up with me. I had been forging prescriptions for about half a year or a year. People were becoming suspicious, so I knew it was coming to an end. And I received a phone call while I was working from a police officer asking me to come down to the station because he had some questions about prescriptions. When I got to the police station, I was escorted into an interrogation room where the police officer sat in front of me and placed two prescriptions down on the table. He proceeded to show me the difference between the prescriptions, informing that they had me on camera bringing it to the pharmacist. He believed that one of them was a fake, and I told him that I actually had forged both of those and that I had an addiction. He then arrested me and brought me into a back room where I was fingerprinted and had my pictures done. I was then handcuffed and then placed into a holding cell. I became very hopeless. After my arrest, I knew I needed help. I heard about Teen Challenge, didn't know much about it. And oddly, that week, I saw three commercials for Teen Challenge, which I had never seen before. So I decided to call them. I even filled out the application. And then I decided that it was time to tell my family what had been going on. I arrived at Teen Challenge. I was very nervous and scared. I didn't know what to expect. Just seeing the peace and the calm that some of the girls had who had been there for a while made me realize that that was something that I wanted. I was amazed by the amount of love and care that I received there. And it was a time for me to reflect and study and seek out answers with the support of amazing staff and the other women. I was able at Teen Challenge to develop more balance in my life and switch my focus from the negative stuff in the world to the positive. And this helped me to see that there were good men out there and good people out there, and ultimately has helped me trust again. Since Teen Challenge, I have started working as a nurse practitioner again. My license is reinstated, and I am helping those with both mental health and physical conditions. What freedom of addiction is to me is living a life that's full of hope. That means having my family restored, of living a fulfilled life with my family, being present, and living a life that is addiction-free.
Hello. Thank you so much, Rosetown Community Church and Pastor Dave, for having us here today. So who here has, before this morning, has heard of Teen Challenge? Put up your hand. So quite a few of you. That's awesome. Who here has had the Men's Center here before in your church? Okay, so that's a few of you. So we in the Prairie region have had the men, two men centers here, one in Prudis, Alberta, and one in Allen, Saskatchewan. So you've probably maybe seen the Men's Center, Allen, Saskatchewan, some of you before. And we are just so excited because we now have this video that you saw is a graduate from the Ontario Women's Center, but we now have Prairie Hope Women's Center just opened in March of this year, just in your very own backyard, just west of, just north of Saskatoon in Haig, just outside of Haig, Saskatchewan. So we're so excited that that's open. And we're really happy to be here today. Those announcements were amazing. We want to come to this church. The coffee, the cookies, the movie nights. Wow, me and Stephanie were like, oh my goodness, is anything else happening that month? So sounds like a really fun, awesome church full of community. So that's just great. We just want to share with you a bit about what's going on in this Teen Challenge Women's Center. And how God changes lives. You've heard this, you saw this video. I myself am a graduate of the Teen Challenge program, so I'll get to share with you a bit about my story, and Stephanie here is going to share her story with you today. She's a student in the Haig Women's Prairie Hope Women's Center right now. Does anyone know how Teen Challenge started and why it's called Teen Challenge? So I'll just share a little bit with you about that. So it's not just for teenagers. It's actually for, the program is for adults. It started in 1958 on the streets of New York by an amazing man, pastor called David Wilkerson. Maybe some of you have heard of him. But what he did is he decided to fast for a week. There was no Facebook back then or Instagram or anything like that, but he decided to fast from television for a week and just spend that time with God that he would have spent watching TV and see what God had to speak to him during that time. And so he was praying, and God led him to the newspaper, an article in the newspaper, and it was a teenage gang that was in the court for murder. And so he just saw the faces of these gang members on the picture and just saw that they had just such nothing in their eyes, like just hate, just darkness in their faces. And God just spoke to him, you need to go help them. You need to go help those people. And I just love how, like, you know, I was looking on your website a bit of your church, and it said, you know, take God's love to the world, to the community. And that's exactly what God spoke to him. You know, like, just show people my love. And that's what he went to do. And so he went to New York to try and help these guys that were on, in court, you know, for murder charges. And he wasn't able to help that particular people get off their murder charge. But what happened was he went to New York and saw that all these gang members were drug addicted to heroin at the time. That was the main drug. And because they had no one loving them. They had no parents. They had no love. They were just so lost. And he ended up, long story short, Teen Challenge was born. And he realized that they needed a place, an in-residence, long-term recovery place where they needed God's love. They needed to know that they were loved and they were worth it. And they were worth restoration. And so that's how Teen Challenge came about. And it's in over 150 countries worldwide, and there's over 1,000 teen challenges for men and for women, but they're separate, not together. And so there's 18 across Canada. And so, yeah, it's very exciting that there's such a need for women as well as men. I think for women, I know I'm speaking personally that I was so, so, so ashamed of my addiction. I hid it, you know, for a lot of years. You know, I sat in the pews of my church. I taught Sunday school, and I was just so ashamed to say that I had a problem. You know, no matter what it is, I think a lot of us, stuff we're going through, we're scared. We're scared to bring it into the light, and the enemy wants us to think we're the only one that's struggling with something, right? And that we're scared to say, I need help. And so, anyways, it's so great that there's a place here. I know for a fact, I'm from Saskatoon, there's so many women that need help. Because I ended up, my addiction took me to living in shelters, separated from my beautiful children and my husband. My marriage was separated from my marriage. It took me to living in shelters, you know, with black garbage bags, almost dying in my addiction. And so I know that how many women need help. So it's so great that this place is here. And I will show you, I will just go to the next slide. So these are our core values of the Teen Challenge program. So first and foremost, we are Christian. It's not the Teen Challenge program that is, you know, the miracle worker. We believe it's God. We're a faith-based program. It's God is the catalyst for change in people with life-controlling problems. And we are committed to the students in the program, with a balance, like I mentioned earlier, loving people back to life, also accountability, training, and I'll get more into that later, and respect, you know, giving people their dignity back and helping the students to reenter society successfully. We are stewards. We are committed to managing wisely all our resources that are entrusted to us. And recognizing also that we are ultimately accountable to God, everything that is given to us, donated to us. And last but not least, hope. There is hope for life-controlling addictions. I believed one time in my life that the only way I would get over my addiction, you know, there's a verse in Psalm 18, the cords of death entangled me. And that's why I loved the worship and the words you sung this morning, because it's only Jesus' blood that I'm here. And I just, it's so true. The cords of death, the enemy does want to steal, kill, and destroy us. And that's what he's out to do. And my choices did lead me down to the chains on me. And the cords of death did entangle me. But thank goodness God reached down and he pulled me out of my pit. And it's because of Jesus' blood that he got those cords off of me. But there was one day that I believed the only way I would get over my addiction was to end my life. And that's where the enemy wanted me, right? But thank goodness. Thank you with God, there's hope. And there is hope for life-controlling addictions. I can live in total freedom now. So our mission is on the next slide. To help men and women overcome substance addictions and live full and productive lives. So we have different phases in our program. We are in residence, so you live for, it's a 12-month faith-based program, so it has a strong faith-based approach. We offer the spiritual, the academic, physical, and vocational training. And so that helps equip our women to return to society as responsible citizens. We also have a full-time Christian counselor on site that the students get one-on-one time with as much as they need. I think. They can go talk right whenever you need, or for sure once a week, or I don't know, Stephanie can speak more to that, but she's a wonderful lady, and she's great, and she's there for the students. So they have quite a structure. So, you know, I can speak for myself. In my addiction, I lost all structure in my life. I lost, you know, my job, and I pretty much just not have any structure left in my life. So you get quite a structure back when you get into this program. You wake up, you know, certain time every morning, and then you have, you know, your chores, your breakfast, your classes, and then your physical time and your work therapy time, right down to bedtime. It's all structured. So it's very good to get that back in your life. So that's all part of the program. And then, you know, the different phases, just like it says up here. So we've got phase one. This is a critical time when you come in. You're dealing with, you know, your former lifestyle that you had. You're enrolled in your vocational training and education classes. Then you get into phase two. You begin to start working on your repairing family relationships, working on spiritual disciplines, you know, getting closer in your walk with Jesus, and all of that deeper kind of stuff, getting down to root issues. Nobody uses, you know, nobody wakes up and says, I'm going to become an addict today. It doesn't work like that. And so why was I numbing pain in my life? What wrong choices did I make? Or what horrible things happened to me that weren't my choice that I have to numb pain in my life, right? And so you can't numb pain anymore. So you got to learn how to deal with those emotions and how to get down to root issues, and how to work through those when you're feeling all that pain. But you're in a safe, loving environment where you can do that. And then there's something we called phase four and phase five. So phase four is almost, you can call it like an internship, where you graduate after the 12 months and you can stay longer. You work alongside staff and you become a leader. So you get extra responsibility, but you also get, you also have your accountability, because you get to still live there. But see, during the first 12 months, you share a room with other students. But this time, you finally get your own room. So it's very exciting, but you still get to stay there. And so, and then phase five, it's an actual staff. You actually become staff, and you are a staff member with Teen Challenge, and then you get to move off-site, but still stay with the program. And then the next slide. These are, like I mentioned, all the centers across Canada for men and women. And like I said about the Prairie Hope Center, we have 20 beds open for women to come. So that's very exciting. And you do not have to be a woman from Saskatoon or Saskatchewan. If there's a woman from anywhere in Canada, they can come and apply to our program. Like, you might be, we have a student actually right now from Ontario. So she might be, you know what, I have to get far away as I can from any bad influences in my life. So I want to come to the Prairie Hope Center in Saskatchewan. So it doesn't matter. You don't have to be from Saskatchewan to come to our Prairie Hope Women's Center. And so the next slide is just a picture that you can see of last year's graduates across Canada. And so we just like to do that so you can see a picture of hope, really. So it's very exciting. And then we have some pictures of our center. It is a beautiful, beautiful home, because what we've had is, this has been a dream and a prayer for over 10 years. So it's been prayers and fundraising and lots of donations of construction people and gifts in kind. So this home, and you can just go through the pictures, is paid for. And that's a miracle, and that's a lot of donations and a lot of prayers. So now, and this is where the girls get to work out. Some of them love it, and some of them endure it. So we make jokes about that. But it's, you know, a holistic, this is the chapel. So they have chapel every Wednesday morning, and we get we like to get guest speakers in. So Pastor Dave, if you ever want to come, or any of you want to come and do a chapel service with us, that would be most welcome. And this is what a bedroom looks like. But you know, you're so broken and you feel so worthless when you come in the program. So to come and believe that God thinks you're worth this beautiful place to come and heal in, it's just so wonderful. So here's just some pictures. And then I think I have some pictures of the girls as well. We have 6 students right now, and we're anticipating more coming in. We have applications coming in all the time. So, and this is like a commercial kitchen. So the girls can leave, as I mentioned, vocational training. One of them is the girls can leave with their food safe course when they leave the program. So that can actually be on their resume. They also have planted a huge garden. They do yard work. Stephanie's in charge of the garden and the yard work. This is Stephanie right here. So, and they do get to have fun too. Like you guys mentioned, all the fun stuff you're doing as a church. It's God wants us to have fun, right? I remember believing in my addiction, how can I ever laugh again? Like sober too, especially. I know it's hard to believe. And I am so full of the joy of the Lord is my strength now. Like God's restored my marriage. I just celebrated 25 years. My kids are back in my life. Yeah, I know. Praise God. These are the students, you know, having fun day at the lake with one of our workers on the left. And this girl in the middle, she's the one from Ontario, and she'll be first time sharing her testimony for the first time at our banquet coming up. So God is so good. He's doing this is our first ever student who's scared of chickens. So that's her face there. She was facing her fears, which she's learning in the program, and she held a chicken. So we're so proud of her. And this is our one. We do fundraising events. We're not a government-run program. And if we were, the government would say we can't say Jesus is the answer. So we had, and that's actually my job. I'm the development person. So we did a fun run in Saskatoon this year. So we did a 5K and a 10K. And we had bouncy castles too, because kids and adults love bouncy castles. So anyways, this is all the students. They got to participate in the run. And this is one of our other students found a salamander at the house. And she, right now, she was just brand new. She didn't smile a lot. So we caught her smiling. It's just so exciting to see what God is doing. And right now, I'm going to ask Stephanie to come up and share her story with us.
Good morning. My name is Stephanie. I'm 27 years old, and I'm in my second week of my seventh month in Teen Challenge. So I'm currently in the training phase, and it's an amazing program. So I was asked to share my testimony here today, so I'll start with that. I just want to say you guys have like an amazing worship team. The singer was like really awesome. And yeah, so my story, I was raised on a reservation called Sacame. I was adopted by my grandpa and his girlfriend. And so, you know, you think that was a blessing, right? But his girlfriend was very abusive, and I went through things such as mental, emotional, sexual, and physical abuse in my 10 years there. I arrived when I was 2. I finally spoke up for myself when I was 12, and I didn't want to be there anymore. I was mocked and made fun of. She said, like, who's going to want you? You have nowhere to go. That's the reason why you're here. And I said, like, I don't care. I'm not staying here anymore. I'm not going through this anymore. I'm leaving. Doesn't matter where I go. So she called my biological father. He came and got me. I went and lived there for a year. I thought it was, like, going to be so amazing. You know, first time I got to meet my father. So turns out him and his girlfriend had, like, 5-6 kids, all younger than me, and they were going through intravenous addiction, like, 10-plus years. So I became, like, their primary babysitter, basically. So it wasn't fun. Stayed there for a year, decided, like, I'm not doing this. I just want to like live for me, right? So I'm like 14. I left. I ended up living with my aunt in Yorkton. She also had 5 kids. I stayed there for 2 years. The first year was good. The second year, she realized that she also had a primary babysitter, and so she became an alcoholic, a very heavy alcoholic. It wasn't so bad for me. Like, I got a sense of accomplishment taking care of these little kids, knowing that I was, like, giving love, you know, something that I never had growing up. So I decided I had to leave because it started getting very scary for me. She would come home and black out and think I was, like, trying to kill her kids, and she would, like, fight me. And so I decided I need to leave. And I was, like, 15. So I hit the streets at 15, and for over 10 years, I was on my own. 15 years old, I started looking for love in all the wrong places. I ended up meeting and having my first child with a man who was 38 years old. He was a drug addict, sold drugs. It was not a good life. He became abusive after I had the child. So I left from there, and I went heavy into alcoholic addiction. That consumed me for about 6 years. I would just drink to no extent. Like, it was extreme. I would usually wake up in the cells not knowing what happened or how I got there. And it wasn't before long the cops actually started coming into the cell and giving me like pep talks and trying to figure out why I was so young and so smart and like throwing my life away to drink. So I started developing relationship, like friendship, with the police authorities. And, you know, that gave me a sense of my worth, you know, like, you know, maybe I am worth something. Because like they always told me, like, you have great potential. Like, we talk to you and you're like so smart. Like, we don't know how you got to this point in your life. So I started getting sober for a bit. I ended up having 2 more children with another man who was Christian. And a year after, he just went down the totally wrong path. Like, he was like the perfect guy. He was raised up Christian, and he went down the darkest path. Like, he's like involved in biker gang activity and stuff like that now. So we have 2 kids together. We don't have any communication. And my 2 kids are with my aunt because I had tried to attempt suicide. That would have been the 3rd time throughout my life that I tried suicide. Tried at 14, tried at 19, and then again at about 21. And that was probably my lowest point, you know, sitting in my basement, talking to God and apologizing, saying like, I can't do this anymore. And just asking him to just let me go. But I didn't. The cops found me in my basement. They took me to the hospital. They released me, and I started getting into more heavier drugs. I started trying to request pills and things like that from my doctor, and like my doctor knew me for a long time, and he like would not give me because so many of his patients he knew were addicted and abusing their prescriptions. So he was adamant he was not gonna give me those, and thank God he didn't. Then I ended up coming to Saskatoon for work. I worked in construction, and our construction teams, after work, we drank, get up, go to work, after work, drink. So yeah, I started drinking again. Then I ended up on the same crew with my ex, so I walked away from the job. I wasn't willing to work on the same crew as my ex. I didn't want to get involved with him again. So I was in Saskatoon, I was jobless, and I needed to figure out something fast. So I went to an interview, I got hired on the spot. Long story short, it didn't pan out because I ended up staying with my uncle who like moved so far across town. I didn't have my own transportation, had to be at work early, so buses weren't even running. So I was stranded and I couldn't pursue that job opportunity. So I ended up meeting a man by the name of Chris. We got to know each other. We ended up developing a relationship. And it wasn't before long that I discovered he was in a really deep meth addiction. And he'd been doing it since he was 14 and he was like 32. And I didn't understand it. I thought you could just quit whatever you want because I could do that with cigarettes. I could just smoke a pack today and none tomorrow and I'd be fine. So I just kept encouraging him, quit, but it didn't do anything. And I just grew a sense of like worthlessness and hopelessness in that. And I started doing the meth and I stayed in it for 4 years. And during that time we had a child. And so my three children are now with my aunt in Ituna. And I haven't seen my kids in a very long time. And so I kept thinking to myself, like, I don't want this to be my life. I never wanted this to be my life. You know, I had dreams when I was young. I wanted to grow up and be a doctor. And so it's like the old me inside was like, you know, it wanted to come out. I didn't want to die like that. I didn't want my kids thinking like, you know, my mom was no good. She lived this type of life and now she's gone. You know, so I didn't want them having that view on me. So I went to treatment like multiple times, but it was like 28-day treatment programs, right? So the last time I went, I was hearing about Teen Challenge and they were talking about it in depth and it was so good, the things I was hearing, and I just like had a desire, like I was like, you know what, they should have centers like that for adults. Like, yeah, it's good for teenagers, but what about adults? And the guy's like, no, it is for adults. So I was like, I don't get it, it's called Teen Challenge. But yeah, so I started talking to a friend and he actually got up and went to his room and he had an application for the center, which was totally weird. I felt like that was God like talking to me. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna pursue this. So I did, and I got the support and I got the funds to do it. And then they told me, okay, your interview is this date and you can go on either March 19th or March 25th. I picked March 19th, which I guess is the day the center doors opened. And I had been sober for like 67 days. And then the week before, my anxiety and my fears and everything just like overwhelmed me and drowned me. And I like just smoked that whole week. And I just believe that no matter what, like, you know, a year-long program is not going to change me. Like, I thought I was so far gone, like God and Christianity like couldn't save me. And so, yeah, I drowned that all out with methamphetamines that week. And the night before, I decided I'm going to do something to bring me down, because if I stay up, I'm going to run from my apartment and I'm not going to be there when my ride comes to pick me up. So I did that. She came into my apartment, found me passed out so hard. And yeah, she got me in the car and we left. And I couldn't believe I was in that car. I was like so tense, like, oh my God, like you're gonna walk away from everything you know, your comforts, everything you became accustomed to. You know, that was my normal. Like, it grew to a point where nothing seemed wrong with it. You know what I mean? Like, not having a shower every day didn't seem out of the norm. Because I was being more and more surrounded by people that didn't have any desire to live, didn't have any desire but to get that next fix. And so that became normal for me. I was like, this is what the world is like. There's no good in the world. There's no good person out there because I haven't come to meet them. So they must not exist. So yeah, we came to Teen Challenge. Since I've been there, it wasn't until my third month that I I gave it to God. I was feeling every day like exploding inside, like I can't do this. Like I lived a life over 10 years doing what I want, when I want, where I want, how I want, with whoever I want. And so going from that to structure and discipline was very like extreme for me. I'm like, do I really want to do this? Like, how is this going to change? Like, you telling me what to do or how to do it today. Like, I had no understanding of that. But I just held on to the thought of how bad I want my sobriety, how bad I want that back, and to get that in the grasp of my hand and to gain custody to my kids. And so in the third month, I couldn't take it. I felt like I was just gonna like scream and yell at the workers and say something that I might regret, and I didn't wanna do that. So I went upstairs, I got on my knees and I put my face to the ground and I just cried and I said, God, like take this feeling from me. Take it all, like I give you everything, I'm surrendering to you. And like I went downstairs feeling like I was floating and it was really good feeling. And my classmate asked me, like, why are you smiling like that? And I was just, I felt so much peace. And so ever since then, I've been putting in an honest effort to build a relationship with God. And I am changing, and it's amazing because it's not going to stop at the end of this year. You know, we're a work in progress every single day. I laugh now. I don't look at things with negativity. Like you seen me in the picture with that buffalo head. Before Teen Challenge, I would have looked at that buffalo head and said, like, you guys are horrible people. Like, you killed a buffalo and you hung the head up on your wall. What's wrong with you? And now I'm like, that's so cool. It's beautiful. You know, like I see beauty in everything. Like, we're just surrounded by beauty and it's all gifts of God. And so I'm learning to give thanks because he created me. There are so many times I could have been laying dead in the hospital, brain dead. I was found dead many times, and I'm still here. I'm blessed. Like, I don't know if any of you are familiar with methamphetamines. It wears a person down really fast. They look very aged very fast. And I just think it's like a blessing that God still has me looking like this. And I can speak properly, you know, say whole sentences, and like the damage I've done to my body and my mind, like it's just, it blows my mind that I'm like, you know, I feel like he really has a purpose for me, and it's just continuing every day and learning that obedience, not just to those in authority, but to God himself. You know, some calls are put on us, and it'll be through other people. So I was really sick today to come and share with you guys. I feel that way every time I have to share. And we prayed before, and God just put the thoughts into my mind, you know, like he is living through other people. He's living through each and every one of us. So when I'm speaking to you, I'm really like speaking to God, you know? And so that gave me great comfort and great courage. And so I'm just glad that I got to like come up and share with you. And I didn't cry this time. It's like a first time. So yay me. And yeah, Teen Challenge is an awesome program. So like if you know of anyone struggling, just I would really encourage you to encourage them to take that step in changing their life. And I just want to share with you my favorite psalm is Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. It's amazing how God was there the whole time keeping you for his good plans and purposes when the enemy was trying to destroy you. And it's so amazing that, you know, you can trust in him and know that he is your strength. And I know he's going to take you along life's journey and do so much more restoration in you and your family's life. And it takes a lot of guts. Thank you so much for getting up here and sharing. So, yeah, that's what's going on in our Prairie Hope Women's Center, just east of Hague, Saskatchewan. Has anyone been out there and seen the center? I'm happy to, you know, if you want to come out and have a tour of the center, show you around. We also are gladly take volunteers. My card is at the back table. We couldn't do it without the body of Christ, without partners like you guys. So we really appreciate having you out here today. We do have, you know, events during the year. So we have our Freedom Run. We have our golf tournament, usually in June. Our Freedom Run is usually in August. We have our banquet. We have a banquet that's in October, but it's sold out so fast. If you're interested, I know some of you go to Riders games. So we have a joint banquet October 29th in Regina that we still have tickets for. So that's the men and women together. So we'll have more testimonies. The men will be singing. The men's choir, our girls will be singing. So we have information about that at the table. And we have these. Some of you might have gotten one. So this is how you can also get involved with us. It's to become a partner with us, and we have a sponsorship program. So this helps our ongoing costs, like operational costs. Our building's paid for, but what it costs, so you can sponsor Stephanie today, become a sponsor if God has moved speaking to your heart in that way. So it's $40 a month. So you would sponsor Stephanie, and you would take her card home today. So you would just fill out this form, and you can come see us at the back table if you're interested in doing that. And so that just helps our ongoing operational costs for our program. It costs $50,000 to $60,000 to put one student through our program for a year, and we only ever charge a student $1,000 to go through the program. And if a student came and they didn't have anything, we would never stop them from coming to our program. So that's what this is all about. And if you have any other questions about anything, we would love to talk to you at our back table at the back. And the number one thing we want you to do to partner with us is pray for us. Please continue to pray for us, because when we get freedom from these life-controlling addictions, the enemy's not happy. So we just need your prayers, and the prayers is the most powerful thing you can do. So thank you so much for having us here today.